Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to come together in this free country, to come together and worship you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for those that are here this morning. We pray that the morning is a morning of glorification of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to study on the resurrection. So we're going to do some singing on the resurrection.
Yeah, let's begin with in the hymnal number 117. Broadman hymnal number 117. Alleluia, alleluia.
Morning. Our scripture reading will be from Matthew chapter 28, if you'd like to turn there with me. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Okay, would you, if you would gather your hymnal again, turn to number 438. 438, "He Lives."
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King. Hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. My Helper is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my terrible way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Okay. All right. Okay, let's talk about some announcements and things. Does anyone have any? I have one that I want to talk a few minutes about with you and your home. So your father, your mother went home to be with the Lord. Talk to us.
Okay. My mother did go home to be with the Lord on Friday morning, a week ago, October the 8th. And I wanted to say a couple of things. You might remember a couple of weeks ago on Sunday I had mentioned that it was, the time was near. We didn't know when. We could just tell through, the way things were going. And I had asked for the congregation to pray for her to have peace and comfort for whatever remaining days she had. And I also asked for prayers for that her transition would be easy and peaceful, because there was no indication to me that that might be the case. Your prayers were answered. I mean, it worked out just that way.
Wonderful.
Loving and generous. Magnanimously generous. Let me tell you a little anecdote that the staff related it to me. First, I want to say that my siblings and myself, we had put together a plan. We were actually going to meet there on that Saturday the next day. All together, we were going to get with her in her room. We're going to have a picnic and, you know, sing or whatever, share stories and that sort of thing. The Lord in His perfect timing was having none of that. And I think I know the reason, but that's neither here nor there. In terms of answering your prayers, all of our prayers, the staff went in, had been checking on her every couple of hours or so for a couple of weeks. And they went in to her at 6:30 in the morning, as they were accustomed to doing on Friday morning. Mom liked to get out of bed early, and so they were there to help her out of bed, get in her wheelchair and that sort of stuff. She liked to get up early and just sit and play her little computer crossword game and stuff like that and have a cup of coffee. Well, they went in her this morning, and she was bright and alert, talkative, speaking clearly, which she hadn't been doing. And they asked, would you like to get up now? And she goes, no, I think I want to lay here a little bit longer and maybe take a short nap. And so we said, well, okay, that's fine. We'll come back in a little while and bring your breakfast. She said, that'll be great. So timing is a little uncertain. I got a couple of different stories, but somewhere between 7:30 and maybe 8:30 in the morning, the staff brought her breakfast. One of her favorite ladies actually brought her breakfast, and she was gone. In her sleep. Transition, easy, peaceful. They said she had the most peaceful look. There was no evidence of any stress whatsoever. She just went home. So, Thanksgiving for certain on all of this. Prayers answered. If anyone has ever doubted that prayers are heard and answered, to me, that eliminates any doubt whatsoever. So thank you all.
Beautiful. Thank you. Very good. Okay, Larry, you've got the life changed of your two daughters. One got married, one went to college.
They were our daughters.
Well, yeah. Tell me about how is y'all's daughter doing in college?
Oh, she's doing very well. She's burning her candle at both ends, so we need to be in prayer for her
good
ability to manage her health in that respect. But other than that, she's got a spiritual group, a social group, a sorority group.
Very good. All right.
Academics doing fine. She's just needing to balance sleep and health. And all of those things.
I'll leave those out. Yeah. Right,
she's out. Yeah. But she's doing great.
Very good. I hope she doesn't mix those groups. Or the spiritual group. That's good. All right. Now, how's your daughter that's married?
Oh, she's doing great. One challenge with her is just the drive, because where she lives, getting to Plano, because she lives down in Dallas. And back each day, but that's it. Other than that,
good.
You know, she's really enjoying teaching and stuff. So.
Very good. And how y'all doing? But not for the first time alone.
Yeah, we're hardly alone. There's still kids.
Right.
They left her. They got her a new dog. Oh, they got Larry and Brian a dog.
Oh.
Kenzie and Blake got a dog, but they keep taking it to Larry and Brian.
Oh, okay. There you go.
No worries. She's got another dog.
Our grandchildren bring over their dogs, but we make sure they go home with them.
Yeah.
And not leave them there. All right. Any other prayer requests for what's going on? Yes.
Two prayer requests.
Two.
And I've got some announcements, I think. Good. One as well.
Good.
But first, Karen and Addie bought a house yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So please be in prayer for all that comes with that, as everybody here probably has some idea of the stress and crazy, but they're really excited. And so
good.
It's an answer to prayer. So please be in prayer for Cameron and Addie. And praise report, Lori and I went and saw my mom last weekend and spent a couple of days with her. She's doing really well. She's missing my father. She looks. We're looking for an apartment for her to move down towards my sister, who's down in Indianapolis, so she'll be closer. So if you just be in prayer for that search and that transition. It's hard at 86. She's by herself. She's got some friends, but she doesn't see them very often. It's hard to get back into a social life. When your social life had been your husband for all, pretty much it.
Yeah.
For a long time. So please be in prayer for my mom.
Very good.
As well. But she's doing mentally very well.
Wonderful.
Emotionally very well. Physically, she's doing well. Her knees are bad. She doesn't get around great, but she's still driving, and I think she just takes a really long time to go through the grocery store. she does it. She does it.
Good. That's beautiful. All right, we'll continue.
We have some youth announcements if we can.
Yes.
Do you want to start?
Okay, we are still in the mix of selling poinsettias. Everybody should know that by now. The last date to order poinsettias is the 26th of October, and we can do it online, or we can take your order on this form and take a check. Just FYI, that's what we're doing. We've got them going. So.
Okay, very good.
One thing to that. I just think that it's super cool that many of you are so gracious to this ministry. This fundraiser, 50% of the proceeds go straight to Liberty Youth Ministries. So yeah. I think that might, that kind of helps me sometimes when I'm sharing it with people, because it is such a great fundraiser truly for the ministry.
It's 50% of the cost goes to Liberty. The rest of it goes to pay for the plant.
Right. Well, that means 50% of it comes back to us, right?
Yeah. So that's really a great fund for us. Very good.
It is.
And that administrative
ticket. And it should have been emailed out to the church, too. There should be a digital link that you can go in and order on.
Yeah. If you
get the church's newsletter.
Or just talk to one of us.
So, awesome. Please. So on that note, we got a lot of stuff planned for the youth ministry this year. We are aggressively going after a college retreat that's going to be in January. We've got the SLAM high school retreat that's going to be in March time frame. We're going to have camp next year. We're trying to get VBSs up and going. That's really hard to get into these apartments right now because of COVID. Please be in prayer. Your financial support, your prayers, we are not slowing down for a second. We are rocking and rolling. And so I just wanted to call out a couple of other things just for planning. And we will print this and put it back in the back so everybody can see it. But we need your prayers, and honestly, we need your money. So send these things out to your friends. People love poinsettias, right? Mm-hmm. Feel free to take the link and send it to people that don't come here. It's okay. They still buy poinsettias even if they don't come here. We're going to have collecting some money for college gift cards that we'll be sending out to the college kids to stay in touch with them. In December, that'll be a Christmas thing, but we're looking to collecting now between now and the end of November. We're going to do a Liberty Fall t-shirt sale, so that'll be fun. That'll be in November to get some cool merchandise that says Liberty Youth Ministries. And then the Veterans Day balloon release, please put on your calendar and please put this, go ahead and write this down. November 14th, please come join us at Celebration Park in Allen. We'll send out more information. It is a great event. It's honoring our veterans. We sell balloons that we release for the veterans. They're $5 if you'd like to do that. But even if you're not going to have a balloon, come be a part. We give the gospel. It's announced very loudly. Phil does a great job, and we put it on big speakers, and we announce it across the entire Celebration Park. They can hear it for miles. But we give the gospel. People hear it. We celebrate the veterans. We release the balloons. We play patriotic music. And y'all, right now, we need all of those things. We need the gospel out there, and we need people to celebrate our veterans, and we need to sing patriotic music, and we need it. We need it. So please put it. November 14th, and we'll give you more information on that.
So. Tell you what is so cool there is...
Share it publicly to whomever. Yeah. It's not just for the church. It's not just for our friends. It's for the public.
Is every year so far... stood out on the side, and about, maybe 200 yards up is a basketball court. And what is so cool is that when they are playing the national anthem and praying, these kids that are just playing, they're not related to any of us, and they stop, and they stop praying when we pray and when we play the national anthem. So I love watching that. Now go ahead.
That's it.
All right.
What's going on?
Any other request or statement? Yes.
There's something that I realized that took place this week that was pretty impactful regarding the youth ministry that I thought you guys may want to know as we're talking about its role and how God's using this ministry in our communities. Ryan has had this text group of the people that she's graduated with for quite some time that she's been communicating with. And now that they've gone to, as you know, many different states across the country to college, they've maintained this text. They haven't talked a lot, but one of the young men who we didn't see very often, but we named Sam, sent a group text this last week talking about his grandfather and his illness, but also his desire for them to pray for his peacefulness as he felt like he was probably leaving, but also for some recommendation on verses that he could provide his mother so that she could read them to his grandfather while he was passing away. And so, this ministry is not just what happens in our homes or what happens at camp. These kids are continuing to know where to go to reach for solid understanding. And not only that, the support that was given in the text message from within themselves, because I asked, right, I said, do you want me to give him some verses? Or she said, no, Mom, we've got it. And so she sent me a screenshot. Mm-hmm. One of our young campers named Garen, who you guys have prayed for over the years, who had a very troubled family life, gave the best encouragement, Christian encouragement, and spiritual guidance as well as a verse to his fellow friend in this text message. Huh. So this thing has legs far beyond anything that we are aware of. God's using this ministry well beyond what we see.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Love that. Anything else? Okay. All right, let's get ready for our teaching with one more hymn.
Oh, offering, yes. Wait.
We have lots of things we need to support, dealing with our young people, our outreach, and so let's take the offering. And how could you not let me get
in? I was just saying, and then I was on the grid.
All right. But so let's prepare ourselves to be a part of God's plan in the offertory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much that we have a part to the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, Father, we pray that you receive the offerings we're about to give, that you will continue using our offerings for the spreading of the gospel, the teaching of the Word of God. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
One last time, hymn number 109. Would you join me in Blessed Redeemer, hymn number 109? Got 6 points of the doctrine of resurrection, and we will continue now in the seventh point and following. And this is going to be an interesting period of time in our history in the church. We've got the resurrection, the next is the death, and I've been working on that, and then the ascension and session of Jesus Christ, and then sitting at the right hand of God the Father. I'm working, asking God to watch and pray that as we go through these, each one of them will be new things that we've not studied before. Like next week, we started on a death, and some things that I hope that you've not had on and taught on the death, so we'll get that covered. And then the ascension session, they're sitting at the right hand of God the Father. But let's begin with the word of prayer. Get God to open our eyes to hearing and seeing the truth of His word. Let us pray.
It's an important passage from your word that we're in the midst of studying. The resurrection, the death of our Savior, His ascension, session in heaven, seated at the right hand. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see and to understand in these. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Every human being is born into history as a sinner and spiritually dead and in condemnation. But God brought the way to eternal life in the burial, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So now we're going to be looking to continue studying at the resurrection of Christ. Part one, we've already studied, but let's just give the headline of it. The resurrection is God the Father's plan and is declared in the Word of God. We have not studied that one before, but it is so important that we understand it starts with God and His plan. Two, the fact of resurrection is based upon the existence of an empty tomb. So we spent some time last week on the empty tomb. Three, the truth of His physical body after His resurrection. And here we took up a study of the truth of His son, of His His service ones at that time, and people that were with Him at that time, and they got to see the resurrected Savior right there live, and all of that became our point of our study. Four, the resurrection is part of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Now today we're going to be noting a lot of different passages in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians is vital to the resurrection and the gospel. But the resurrection is part of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Point five, the importance of the gospel is the resurrection related to faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:12-17. Point six, the resurrection emphasizes the difference between a theophany and Christophany. And the difference, in other words, Jesus Christ before He had the resurrection. Christophany deals with the resurrection. And that begins now with seven. So we get now to get digging, playing down into it. Point seven, there are two returns from the death. Two returns, not one, but two. The first is known as resuscitation. Resuscitation is when a person returns from the dead in a body of corruption and subsequently will die. This is not resurrection. Now, example, Lazarus and Paul experienced both of these involved in the resuscitation. Jesus Christ said to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come outside." Now I love this because Jesus Christ is there and all these people are there. He doesn't say come forward, because if He said that, they'd all come out of that grave. And that was not what He wanted. He wanted one, and that was Lazarus. So He asked for Lazarus to come out of the grave. And Lazarus came out of the outside. He had been in the grave for several days. He came out of the tomb wrapped in his grave clothes, and then wrapped in those and put into normal clothing, and he was resuscitated. He was alive and subsequently will die again. And later, Paul did the same thing. Paul was in Lystra and was stoned to death. He was stoned to death, but he came alive and in 1 Corinthians 15 and to die physically later. And then in the Old Testament, we have several accounts of this. 1 Kings 17, Elijah resuscitated a young boy. Now, that study would be in it wonderful, just studying that, and relate to that. 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha also resuscitated a young boy who would later die. Both of these are very important studies, and if we had the time for this study, we would go through that right now. So resuscitation is the first of two returns from the dead. The second return, of course, is a resurrection, in which a person returns from the dead with a body of incorruption, therefore never again subject to death. And so far, only one person in all history has been resurrected, and that, of course, is our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Therefore, resurrection is rising from the dead in a human body, never again subject to death. So we have resuscitation and resurrection. Now, point A. And by the way, as I go through this, you got any questions, just please raise your hand and ask. I miss Martha sometimes because she always, wait a minute, I don't understand that. So, all right, point A. Resurrection is therefore one of the basic doctrines which all believers must understand for spiritual growth. This comes out of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about the Christ, that would be like the resurrection, let us press on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washings and layings on of hands, and about the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. So these are things that a Christian needs to understand, these things for spiritual growth. Every believer is in us to believe, the understand and believe resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right, that brings us to point 9. Very short. The agents for the resurrection. We've studied this before, but the agent of resurrection of Jesus Christ, there are three agents. The first one is God the Father. Colossians 2:12, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, 1 Peter 1:21, Galatians 1:1. The second agent is God the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. 1 Peter 3:18. And the third agent for the resurrection, Jesus Christ himself, John 10:11 through 18. Now, that brings us to point 10. The doctrine of the two resurrections is pertinent. Two resurrections is pertinent and important to us. There are two resurrections, not one. John 5:24 through 29, Daniel 12:2, Revelation 26 and 13. All of these teach us that there are actually two general resurrections. The first resurrection involves the Lord Jesus Christ and all believers only. So we have the first resurrection, and there we have a second resurrection, which we'll look at in a moment. By the way, just to have you, the second resurrection, all unbelievers. First resurrection, believers. second resurrection, all unbelievers at the end of time. The confusion seems to come in the fact that the first resurrection is divided into four parts. The first resurrection divided into four parts. First is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that is we're going to look at these as a military presentation. We have the various parts of the military. A battalion. We're going to look at them as a battalion. Bob Thiem taught me this. My goodness. I was 1961, 62. So this has always been a part of understanding the resurrection. The first battalion, 1 Corinthians 15:23. But each of the other order, in its order, Christ the first fruit, after that, those who are Christ, at his coming. That's the Alpha, beginning, first resurrection, Jesus Christ. Baker, that's the second. Baker Company. This is believers of the rapture of the church. 1 Corinthians 15:51-57. 1 Corinthians 15:51-57. At the end of the church age, then all church is resurrected. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. That brings us to Charlie C. Company. First, Jesus Christ. Second, believers of the church age. Now we go to third. This is all Old Testament saints and tribulational martyrs. Those who will die in the martyr, in the tribulation. Remember, you start with the tribulation, starts with unbelievers. Then immediately goes into believers. And during the tribulation, many people are going to die. And so they will be resurrected at the second advent. The second advent, this is when the Charlie Company is resurrected. Old Testament saints, tribulational martyrs. They are resurrected at the second advent. This is taught in passages as Daniel 12:13, Isaiah 21:19-20, Revelation 20:40. Now we go to the last one, Delta Company. This is made up of millennial saints, and those who arrived in through the tribulation into the millennium. They will have resurrected bodies at the end of the millennium. This is the fullness of the first resurrection. This is the fullness of the first resurrection. That is all believers. The second resurrection all occurs at one time, and this is given to us in John 5:28-29, Revelation 12:12-15, 2 Peter 3:19, Matthew 25:41. The second resurrection occurs at the end of the millennium. In other words, the end of time. It is a resurrection of all unbelievers. Since the beginning of time, they are judged and cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Now, brings us to point 11. Very important. Very important. Work this together so hopefully you're able to follow through. Throughout the scriptures, throughout the plan of God, the resurrection is part of the victory of the angelic conflict. Now we talk a lot about the angelic conflict. It has been years since I've studied it, because I want to tell you something. If you'd handle the angelic conflict correctly, and you only have one Sunday a week, it'll take a couple of weeks, a couple of years. A couple of years. This is involved. It is wonderful. So I just pulled it together for you here. Angelic conflict. Order of events. A, angels were created before man in the prehistoric world. The world's here. Angels are there. B, many angels at this time followed Satan, rebelled against God and followed Satan, followed Satan in his revolt against Jesus Christ. This is the beginning of the angelic conflict. C, all the angels who followed Satan are known as fallen angels or demons, and along with Satan were cast into what is called the deep. The study of the deep is very important. If you were to go and just read a book of the period of the coldness, then you'll see the word the deep. And the deep is an area, is time when everything's going to be in freezing, put in froze and locked, and that's where the deep is going to be, they will be at this time. That brings us to D. Jesus Christ then restores the earth. You'll see how in Genesis 1, 2, 3, the Holy Spirit goes over the earth and starts bringing the cold and brings out the water and the flood, the water and the land. Jesus Christ then restored the earth to the present earth and created the creature mankind, who fell almost immediately in following Satan and were now in Satan's kingdom of darkness under condemnation. This is the beginning of Genesis 1, 2, and 3. That brings us to E. So just by covering what we cover now, we've got maybe a couple of years to take care of all of that. Now, we go to E. Jesus Christ, as God, came in the form of humanity and died on the cross, taking away the sin barrier of the world. Now, mankind, both unbelievers and unbelievers, are directly in the angelic conflict. F, after the removal of the sin barrier, Jesus Christ defeated the angels in the angelic conflict. This is what is learned in Colossians 2:15. Colossians 2:15, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Now, that is an unbelievable verse in the angelic conflict. But this brings us to G. This brings us to the resurrection. So that's all G. That's what we're studying, the resurrection. H, in his resurrected body, Jesus Christ went into this, so he's in the resurrected body, right there in the grave, but he physically took his soul and spirit, but he went into Tartarus. This is complement when the fallen angels of Genesis 6 were imprisoned under the great white throne judgment, until the great white throne judgment. In other words, these angels fell at Genesis 6 when the flood was taken care of the flood. at this time. So they were just pulled out. Pulled down. They did not have the see or know what was going on. And they've been in there. Now, at the resurrection, at the death, excuse me, when he's dead, Jesus Christ takes his body and it goes down to it at this time to lead, give them a victorious proclamation, 1 Peter 3:18 through 20, where he told them he was victorious over them and over Satan. That brings us now to I. We all, believers in Jesus Christ in the church age, are not told to fight the devil. We're not told to fight the devil, but to stand firm and put on the whole armor of God, where we will study this in Ephesians 6:10-17. I hope you're following the angelic conflict. Now, this brings us to J. At the end of the millennium, at the great white throne judgment, Satan and all the demons will be cast into the eternal lake of fire. All members of the human race who chose not to believe in Jesus Christ will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever, Revelation 20. Everyone else will go into eternity with Jesus Christ. Any questions in the resurrection, the angelic conflict? Now, this is said in 1 Corinthians, starting chapter 15. But now, this is the resurrection in the angelic conflict. Christ has been raised from the dead, and the first fruits of those who are asleep. The soul never... What I'm doing here now is explaining, a little explaining of what's going on. The soul never sleeps. Only the body sleeps. The word asleep is used for believers who have died before the rapture and before the resurrection. The point is that the body is asleep, waiting to be awakened by the resurrection. The soul never sleeps in the presence of the Lord, of the Father. Now, I hope, and as we go through this part, this whole understanding of the resurrection gives you peace about your own death, about the death of people that you love and know. Because there's just no place for any kind of fear or worry about it. If they believed in Jesus Christ, if you believed in Jesus Christ, the resurrection is wonderful. Now this takes us to verse 21. For since by a man, that's Adam, death came, by a man, Jesus Christ, also came the resurrection of the dead. So Adam brought in death, Jesus Christ brought in life. This is the last Adam, or the last the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, spiritual death, so also in Christ also will be made alive. Those who believe in him will be made alive. If you are in Adam, you are spiritually dead. But if you are in Christ by faith, you are alive forevermore. Verse 23, but each of his own order, that's what we studied with the four orders for resurrection and then the resurrection of the unbelievers. Christ, the first fruits, after that those who are Christ at his coming, the rapture of all believers of the church age. Verse 24, then comes the end. Now the end here refers to the end of the Jewish age, the end of the tribulation. When he hands over the kingdom of his God and Father, even he has abolished all rule and over all authority and power. This is the time of what is called Operation Footstool. That comes from Psalm 110:1. Operation Footstool is where God, Jesus Christ enters and conquers all of his enemy. Verse 25, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Now, any question about the conflict. All right, let's go to verse 12. Point 12. The resurrection is necessary for the preparation of line of David. So we have here the perpetuation of the line of David is now to be come up, full fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. This is recorded in Romans 1:3 concerning his son. This refers, of course, to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then we complete this, 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to all gospel, to my gospel. So we're talking about David here. David is promised this, and so it will be given to him when Jesus Christ is resurrected. Now that brings us to 13. The mystery of the resurrection. That comes right out of Corinthians. Mystery of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:50-58. Let's look at it very quickly. Outline of this passage. Here's the outline of 50-58. Death and resurrection, verses 50-52. Death is swallowed up in victory, verses 53-54. Resurrection is the victory of Jesus Christ, verses 55-56. Then the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 57. Life is not wasted since there was the resurrection, verse 58. All I wanted to do here was to break it into pieces for you, so that if you were read, and when you read it, which we're getting ready to, you're able to follow through. Resurrection of Christ, death and the death is swallowed up. Resurrection, the victory of Christ, grace through Jesus Christ, and then how our life on earth is not wasted. Your life today is not wasted if you live in the Spirit-filled life. So let's take a look at what we just looked at. First of all, death and resurrection, verses 50-52. 50, now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. All right, what does all this mean? The phrase kingdom of God, first of all, this is used to refer to the eternal state of the church. Our bodies of flesh and blood are not resurrected bodies. Therefore, we cannot live in eternity in our physical bodies. Our physical bodies are not capable to live off the planet. Our physical bodies are perishable and subject to death. The imperishable refers to our resurrected bodies, our bodies resurrected. Now let's look at verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. All right. First of all, let me just tell you what's being done. Sleep refers to everybody that dies during the tribulation, the church age, but are changed, but not sleep. That refers to everyone who lives in the church age and will die in the church age. I think we're not far from that right now. Sleep applies only to the physical body, not our souls. The soul and the spirit are absent from our body. So whatever happens with our body, buried or burned, my friend John Hens, what he wants to do, he wants to be cremated, and then he wants his ashes to spread all over an ocean. And he said, then I want to see God pull me out of all of that. And I tell him, it'll be done in a second. But anyway, that's what is going to happen, and that is being talked about in that way, in that respect. Look at verse 52. In a moment, in the sprinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. That's all that have died, raise up imperishable, and we will be changed. Those who didn't die in the church age, they will be changed. Resurrection occurs instantly. Man was created instantly. The universe was created instantly. God provides resurrection of our new bodies instantly. Now let's look at the trumpet. The trumpet refers here is the trumpet of 1 Thessalonians 4:16. This is not the same trumpet as that of Revelation 11:15. The Revelation 11:15 deals with Jesus Christ being trumpeted as the new ruler of the world. Now, this brings us to the next section. Death is swallowed up by victory. Verses 53 and 54. Verse 53, for this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. The resurrection is a matter of the power, wisdom, and sovereignty of God. Your resurrection does not depend in any way of your merit on earth. Winners and losers will receive a resurrected body equally immediately. Putting on imperishable. This refers to those who die in the church age. The second part, the mortal, this refers to those who will die or who will be alive at the end of the tribulation. At the end of the church age, that is the mortal. That's that they will die. Immortality. Verse 54. Any question with that? All right. 54. But when this perishable puts on the imperishable, that's all that will die in the church age, and this mortal, that's who will be alive at the end of the church age, will have put on immortality. Then will come about the saying that is written in Isaiah 55:8, death has been swallowed up in victory. The riches, gift that we are given by God is the resurrection. Losers and winners among all believers receive victory from the Lord Jesus Christ victoriously. It is not our victory. It is Christ's victory. All the unbelievers receive a resurrected body. Resurrection is a total divine victory. Death defeated Satan. Death defeated Satan, and death is defeated by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. By grace, this victory is now given to every believer. So there is a victory here. Yes, sir.
Herman, when you're talking about the believers, what do you mean by losers and winners?
All right, very good. Losers waste their life as believers. They don't walk in the Spirit. They don't glorify Christ. They don't witness for Christ. They don't grow. They just waste their life here on earth. A person who comes, spends his time in the Spirit-filled life, studies the Word of God, grows, that's a winner. Glorifying Christ in your life. Okay? Good. Thank you. All right. So here we now come to see. Resurrection is the victory of Jesus Christ, verse 55 through 56. Resurrection is the victory of Jesus Christ. Verse 55, O death, where is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death has no victory. We all generally, we all will face death of others, but many will be alive at this time. But if you die, someone you love dies, don't get lost. Yes, we're going to cry, we'll suffer, but not as the unbeliever. We know what it's going to be. I know exactly. I'm going to see my mother in eternity. Right now, she's gone. You will see your mothers, your fathers, people on earth that you knew, you will see again. It has no victory. The victory belongs to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:55. O death, where is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Death has no victory. Verse 55, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. So it's put to pull together two things now. First of all, the imputation of Adam's original sin has two results. The imputation of Adam's original sin has two results: spiritual death and subsequent physical death. This was originally declared in Genesis 2:15. But the tree of the knowledge of, this is God talking to Adam and Eve, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you shall eat from it, dying, you shall die. Dying, first time, refers to spiritual death, which is immediate. Dying, spiritual death immediately. You shall die, physical death in life. That is what that phrase deals with. Now, out of the complete biblical library says, had sin never entered the race, death never would have ended. So that we have the end now. The sting of death is the natural sin nature. Sin is described in Moses' law. 1 Timothy 1:5-8-10. Now, every question? All right, let's go to point A and point D. What we're doing is looking at 1 Corinthians 15. The grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God through Jesus Christ. verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God gives us this victory, not something we earn, give daily thanks to God for grace in the victory of the resurrection. The believer resurrection is God's grace and Christ's victory. So each day we ought to just thank God, especially if you're thinking about death or come to death, somebody you love is dying or at that point dead. This is where you have thanks God. Thank you that it's all taken care of. One of the reasons why no Old Testament believer was resurrected is because the Lord had not gone to the cross and died and been resurrected before, so they were not resurrected before that. That brings us to E. Life is not wasted since there was the resurrection. Since there was a resurrection, your life does never have to be wasted. First Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord. There's the winner. The person is the loser, doesn't do it. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The immovable means you have the right to and use your own volition to fulfill the plan of God in your life. You have the right to press onward to maturity. Your labor is not in vain because you use your volition during your life to glorify Christ. Your labor is not in vain because you glorify Jesus Christ in your life. Losers live empty lives, while winners live all are not in vain, and winners glorify Christ in their life. Now that brings us to 14. The resurrection of Christ indicates completion of the ministry of justification. Now, let me just tell you right now, we're going to read it. I know pastors that don't understand this one. People are confused by it. So let's take a look at it, and I'm going to see if I can make it simple and clear to you easily. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions as Jesus Christ, and was raised because of our justification. Now, I want you to understand something. Raised because of your justification. Where did justification come? It came with His crucifixion, the death of Christ on the cross. But we are raised because of justification. Justification, and if I go through this, and I get through and you don't understand it, please raise your hand. Justification was completed on the cross. There's part of the view.
Your voice is weak.
Oh, okay. All right. Justification was completed on the cross. God the Father was free to rescue Jesus Christ 3 days later. Justification was an accomplished fact. People, you must be able to grasp the totalness of the resurrection. On the cross, Jesus Christ took care of our sins on the cross. But if there is no resurrection, then our teaching of the resurrection is vain. This is why it is important to fully understand 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul teaches that if Christ is not raised from the dead, then our preaching is in vain. And our faith is also in vain. If he just died on the cross and stayed there, that's it. Our faith is vain. Their justification is vain. Now, if he is not raised from the dead, then our faith is worthless. Which, of course, declares our faith is worthless, is useless, which means that our justification is also worthless. Now, but if, since he was raised from the dead, then because of his resurrection, then we are justified. Let us make this as clear as I can make. Because Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross and raised from the dead, we are justified. If there is no cross work on Jesus Christ, there is no justification. If Jesus Christ is not resurrected, there is no justification. When you think of salvation, please consider three vital facts when you think of salvation and justification. One, Jesus Christ crucified on the cross. Two, Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And three, the sinner puts his faith in Jesus Christ. You need all three for justification. Now, is it clear? Okay, good. Let's look at 15. I want to go ahead and finish. I know what time it is. But the other day, Judith and I watched over an hour and a half of Trump speaking. Nobody got up. Nobody left. Nobody yawned. They had thousands of people listening consciously. And I thought, if people can do that for Donald Trump, we can do that with the teaching of Word of God. Okay, point 15. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is necessary for the advance of the plan of God. Isaiah 53:10, Old Testament. Isaiah 53:10, but the Lord was pleased. This is God the Father. The Lord here is God the Father was pleased to crush him, Jesus Christ. That's his death. Putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days. That's the resurrection. He will prolong his days. Resurrection. And the good, pleasant pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. The Father's plan would advance through the resurrection. Therefore, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is critical to history and to our eternity. 16. The resurrection of Christ is the basis of the believer's confidence. This is what I'm going to close with. Here's your confidence. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you think of death, your own, people you love, people you know, whatever, in a battle, in a war, whatever, here's your confidence at this time is in the resurrection. The resurrection of Christ is the basis of the believer's confidence in the future. We know exactly what's going to happen when I die. We know exactly what's going to happen in the future. That's what this is saying. Just thinking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ can cause the believer to have such peace and confidence about death. Your own death, someone else's death. 1 Peter deals with this. Chapter 1, verse 3 and following. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His, God the Father's, great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or by means of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the debts. Now you will note there, debts, that I read that as a plural. In the Greek, it's in the plural. I looked at about 20 different translations. They all translated singular. But it is a plural in the Greek. The living through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the debts. This refers to His physical and spiritual death on the cross. So you have there your two. Now, verse 4. To obtain, let's just read it now without a stop. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the deaths, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You never have any fear to deal with death, people. Who are protected, that you and I, are protected by the power of God through faith in Jesus Christ for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Who through Him are believers in God. We are believers in Jesus Christ by faith in Christ, who raised Him from the deaths, it's plural again, from the deaths, and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. When we look at Isaiah 53:10, all the Bible translations again give you a singular translation. The Hebrew is a plural. He was with a rich man in his debts, while he was in his debts, plural, spiritual and physical death. The more a believer is aware of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, causes the believer to have more confidence from his own death. Therefore, we need to study the resurrection often in our lives. Close with point 17. This last emphasis on the resurrection that we'll be studying is to impress on every believer that we are to press on to maturity because we are identified with Christ in His resurrection. Now let me repeat that. We are to press on to maturity, grow to Bible church, study the Word of God, learn the Word of God. Why? We are identified with Christ in His resurrection. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism unto death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in the newness of life. The baptism and the death was our identification with Christ in His debts, so that we are identified with Christ in His resurrection, and we are motivated to advance in maturity with Christ. Close in verse 57. 58 again of 1 Corinthians 15. But thanks be to God who gives to us the victory through our Lord Jesus. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always exceeding in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor is not in vain, it's in the Lord. Let's close in a word of prayer. Next Sunday we're going to go into the death, because that's the order that the Holy Spirit put these resurrections and death. So next Sunday we'll start looking at some new things, I hope, some flesh things for death. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God, the Bible. We thank you so very much for the mystery, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to teach us these verses, to reveal to us His resurrection, His death, His burial, resurrection, ascension, session, seated at the right hand, the future of our Savior for us. Pray, Father, your Spirit, take the things that we've learned this morning, enrich our lives, enrich our relationship with Christ, our lives with each other, as we continue to advance in the maturity in Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.